If I just say it, apparently it makes it so. So I'm just going to say it. This is the news according to me. Yeah, well, you know, I've noticed that this is a constant with Joe Biden. They seem to think that all they need to do is speak out the narrative. They can just launch the narrative out there. If they just say it, it makes it so. Nothing to back it up, nothing at all. It's just this feeling they get, you know. Kind of like that feeling I get in the morning when after I have enough caffeine. I just get this feeling that apparently Joe can't control. More reports of a second Joe doing his duty. Duty in his pants, I believe, is the way I'm not going to, you know, make jokes about it, as Matt Walsh would say. Matt Walsh did this bit the other day. It's probably worth just putting that in a can somewhere, because it really does need to be probably put someplace, I would bet, because it's just it's funny. He does this whole thing where he's talking about not talking about it. not making jokes, and then giving all kinds of examples of jokes that he's not going to give. it's hilarious. Yeah, it's pretty funny. There's this, apparently, I guess he just came out the other day and he said something about how the economy, the U.S. economy, is doing really well. He's doing this whisper thing again, talking about the U.S. economy and how we're strong. So strong. U.S. economy is strong. The problem is when you start messing with numbers and you're not looking at the right trends, that's where things start to get a little bit bogus. And you know, you can pick a little snapshot of a picture of an economic situation right before the poop flies out into the underwear. And I won't make any of those jokes anymore. I know, stupid. It's sad. If Joe says something, you pretty much know that the opposite is true. I think he's, you know, that whole Seinfeld episode where George Costanza starts doing everything the opposite seems to be playing out pretty well for Joe. If he would just say the opposite of whatever they tell him to say, I think he'd be a little bit more accurate. You know, just a couple examples, small examples. Is there a chance that Afghanistan is going to fall into the hands of the Taliban? No. They have an army that's 300,000 strong, one of the best equipped trained armies in the world. A week later, it's gone. And then you got things like, he's going to defeat COVID. He's going to crush COVID. It's not happening. Of course, he's blaming the unvaccinated for that. Oh, what else has he said? He said all kinds of other things recently. Oh, like just for instance, the other day, just as the most recent one that I remember. Oh, he's Glenn. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, this McAuliffe is going to win tomorrow. He's going to win. I'm just sure of it. So here we are. He was wrong about that, by the way. He's been wrong about so many things. Just one after the next. I just every day he comes out and says something, he's wrong about it. Now, they were saying that during Trump's administration, I think he said like 30,000 lies or 38,000 lies or whatever it was in the course of his administration in 4 years. In 4 years, I don't think, and I talk a lot, I don't think I've made 30,000 statements. Do the math on that once and see how ridiculous that is. Let's just do it. I'll just pull up my little calculator here. I think they said it was 38,000. Let's give them a break. Let's say 35,000. 35,000. Now, we have 4 years, 4 times 365 days in each year. That's 1,460 days. 35,000 divided by 1,400 and what did I say? I don't remember what I said. You'd think I would be able to do this in my head, but I can't because I don't. It's 1,460. So 35,000 divided by 1,460. So there you go. That's 23.97 lies per day. 24 lies per day. 24 lies a day, every day for 4 years. 24 lies every day. Now, I'm assuming they're saying specific, different lies every day. And, you know, it's a certain number of those hours you're not really talking. You're probably resting, probably 8 hours a day or so. And I know supposedly Trump doesn't sleep 8 hours a day. He sleeps like 5 hours a day, 4 hours a day, supposedly. And he eats a lot of cheeseburgers, I guess. He eats a McDonald's every day. Every meal is McDonald's, apparently, according to the news. I kind of doubt that. I know he enjoys McDonald's. I know he enjoys fast food. Who doesn't? Occasionally. Don't tell me you don't, because there's like 3 billion people served every day. Somebody out there's got to be eating it. Nobody wants to admit it. The 24 times a day. Okay, so I'm assuming that's 24 unique lies every day. Different ones. Okay. I'm assuming probably different subjects, at least 3 or 4 different subjects. So is he saying 8 lies about every single subject he's talking about every day? Different day, 7 days a week for 4 years? And we're supposed to believe that? Oh, because CNN said it so. MSNBC said it so. So it must be so. They said 30,000 lies in the course of 4 years. See, nobody sits down and does the math on that. But you know how unlikely and like ridiculously improbable that is? He didn't even give that many speeches every day. And yet we're supposed to believe that they're the ones that are reliable news. That's what they are. Yes, I'm sure they're giving us the straight facts on that one. Nothing to see here. We're just giving you the straight facts. We're counting these lies every day and look at the counter go up. The counter's going up faster than the COVID deaths. How absolutely ridiculous is that? So I'm in my cup. I left my cup upstairs. I'm at my home, the bunker studio. I call it the bunker studio because it's in my basement of my house. Now it's not just, you know, I mean, it's not a wet basement. It's a livable basement. A couple bedrooms and a bathroom down here. A big room and a little theater. But I had this thought. I know that there's a few people who are like regular listeners to this podcast. Like apparently you listen to this religiously, because there's always a certain number of people, even on the slow days, there's a certain number of listens that I get on this show. And apparently, I was sitting down with had a big high level meeting yesterday with the producers, me, myself, and I. And I sat down with them and had this big discussion about how we should continue to do content here on the show. And me and myself get along pretty well, but this one, I doesn't get along so well with me, with any of us, the rest of us. Kind of a jerk. But me and myself, we're talking, and I had this executive decision to make, and decided to put out there to my listeners, just send in some suggestions. There's an email in the description. You can pick that up, but you can also just, I think you can email it. What is the other email? I think it's just TNA to me. The letters TNA, the number 2, and then me, ME, at gmail.com. I believe that'll get to me. Pretty sure it will. But you can also just, there's also contact information in the description of the podcast. You can send in your suggestions on content that you would like for me to report on. And it might be kind of interesting. What would you like to have my opinion on in terms of what's going on in the world? I'll look those over, and then I'll decide what to say on my show, because it's my show. It's not your show. It's the news according to me, not to you. But that, you know, that maybe that's something you want to talk about. Talk about the fact that I'm a narcissist, egotistical, maniacal, world domination tyrant. Maybe that's what you want me to talk about. I'm glad to talk about that. I'll be happy to talk about that. A couple other things that are in the news recently, just as a matter of fact, there's some really, troubling news. Now, the mandate, let's talk about COVID for a moment, because I never talk about that. The latest thing that I'm hearing from the administration, now there's some confusion about what has happened. The OSHA mandate, there's the OSHA mandate and then there's the federal mandate. The federal mandate comes out December 8th. Now, why they do this is the timing on some of these and the way they set these arbitrary dates that just come out of nowhere. Well, by December 8th, all federal employees must be vaccinated. Yeah, you have to understand why they're picking these dates. I don't know why, but there's a reason. Trust me, they're putting these dates out there. Now, think about this. We've gone a year and a half, almost 2 years, with this virus doing what it's doing. Being told all the while that masks will save us all. The vaccine is going to save us all. And now the booster is going to save us all. But now the vaccine everybody has to have the vaccine or we're all going to die. And the people who are unvaccinated are killing us all. And yet Jen Psaki's got COVID and she's been vaccinated. So I don't understand. She's got it. Did she get it from an unvaccinated person? Who is she running around with without a mask who's unvaccinated? You see, the problem that we have here is that this vaccine is not very effective. In fact, there's some other issues that are coming out about the vaccinated that I think we need to deal with. I was just recently listening to, I believe it was someone in Australia, it was New South Wales. I can't remember where it was for sure. It may have been someplace in Britain or Europe. And it sounded like a joke. It sounded like a parody script of some kind. This guy was talking about, they had one case break out in this province, I guess it was. One case. They were shutting the area down. They were shutting the entire province down. And everybody was supposed to be locked in their homes unless you were vaccinated. If you were unvaccinated, you couldn't do anything. Couldn't leave your home. If you were vaccinated, you could. You could go wherever you wanted to, as long as when you were inside, indoors with other people, you had to wear your mask. Well, I don't know why, because you're vaccinated, right? Because you're fully effective. It's fully efficient. You know, it's just, what's the chances? What are the odds of you getting COVID if you're vaccinated? And they're shutting this whole place down, basically punishing the unvaccinated and telling everybody, you need to get vaccinated. They're just pushing this to get people vaccinated. The guy who contracted it came up with a positive case. Now, the problem with this is, I'm pretty sure it was someplace in Australia. The problem with this is you have these issues where they think they're going to eradicate it. They think that if you get down to zero cases and then you control the population, that you're not going to have it again. Folks, that's not the way this virus works. It has what is called animal reservoir, just like the common cold. we're never going to get rid of this virus. The cold is a virus, by the way. Common cold is a virus. It's a very much lighter version. And the cold does kill people, by the way. If someone is extremely old, if they have a very compromised immune system, or they have other underlying conditions, the cold, the common cold, can kill an individual because it develops into pneumonia and other respiratory issues once they catch it, which is exactly the way this virus is as well. It's just much more aggressive and much, much tougher on with the symptoms that you have to deal with. But it's the same type of virus. It's a respiratory virus. Now, supposedly, those who have been vaccinated will not have very tough symptoms. And herein lies the problem. You can be walking around with the virus, having been vaccinated, and you'll be asymptomatic and carrying the same viral load. I'm not saying that based on my epidemiology degree. I'm saying that based on what Anthony Fauci has said. He has said that. So fact check me if you want to. I'm taking it from Anthony Fauci that he's telling me the truth. Probably not. He's probably lying about that too. Who knows? Maybe it's more. Maybe it's greater. I don't know. There's another person who lies for the greater good of society. And I've spoken about this before too. Speaking of the word society, we hear this a lot right now. Well, you got to have a responsibility to society. You live in a society. Apparently, this guy, I've just overheard this argument recently. I was not in a position where I could say anything because I just didn't have it. I was busy doing something else. And I couldn't say anything. But the argument, these people got in this argument, and what they were talking about was the one person was saying, well, you know, if you're vaccinated, what are you afraid of? Well, this other person was saying, well, being that's fine, but you know, you can't go out and drive your car 200 miles an hour down the road because you're creating a danger to other people in the society. If you're not on the road, what is the danger to you? And his whole point was stupid because actually the people who are driving 200 miles an hour down the road are the vaccinated ones. You know, the unvaccinated don't have a car. They'll go 200 miles down the road, not miles an hour down the road. The whole logic here is that somehow having the vaccine means that you are immune to this virus. And that is the lie that people are being told right now. Even when they see right before them, Circleback Psaki gets coronavirus, fully vaccinated and boosted, and she comes down with the Rona, and everybody thinks that's just a really rare breakthrough case. Well, she'll be okay. Folks, she's got the virus, and she's carrying the same viral load as anyone who's unvaccinated. The only difference is the unvaccinated person will have more symptoms, potentially higher chance of, higher possibility, anyway, of dying from it. Now, I recently had to go in to see my mother. My mother's in a care facility. And, of course, you have to mask up and you have to ask you questions. They have to screen you. It's just a questionnaire thing. They ask you these questions. They take your temperature. I'm okay with that. Didn't touch me, so I'm fine with that. Took my temperature. She asked me these questions, and she was saying, have you had any symptoms? Have you been around anybody that's exposed to the coronavirus? I have no idea. I travel a lot. I don't know. That's not that I know of. Not that I'm aware of. Not everybody I talk to tells me whether or not they've got it or not. Who knows if they got it or not? Oh, I know I wasn't around anybody that tested positive, that at least anybody that would tell me that they were tested positive. I don't know. I said it. Not that I'm aware of. Then they asked me if I had been vaccinated. I said, do I have to answer that question? She said, no, you absolutely do not. I said, well, I do not disclose any of my medical information. So therefore, I'm not going to answer that question. She said, okay. And I went in. You see, they tag that kind of thing on there. And it becomes this very subtle way of polling people, to find out who all's vaccinated and who's not. I'm not going to pay. My information is not going to be on anybody's paperwork, whether or not I've been vaccinated. I'm not going to tell you whether or not I've been vaccinated, even though you probably kind of have an idea, but you don't know. All I'm going to say is I'm not giving out my medical records to anyone, except for my doctor, who is supposedly supposed to keep that under a HIPAA law, not supposed to divulge that information. Now, the government might be able to query whether how many of their patients, they might say, well, 95% of our patients are vaccinated. That's fine. They can do that. They can't give them my name and address. However, I kind of doubt that that kind of information is really being kept secret. Because we got these, especially with the intelligence agencies we've got right now. Let me tell you a little something. I'm going to segue this right into a little story about the Kyle Rittenhouse trial that's going on right now. Kyle Rittenhouse was the young man in Wisconsin, in Kenosha, during the riots that were going on there. And Kyle carried a gun. He carried I think it was an AR-15 of some kind. It was a semi-automatic rifle. He was carrying it with him. He also had a medical kit with him. He was there to try to help put out fires to kind of protect a particular area. I think there was a car lot. Him and some friends of his, they were there to protect people from just destroying everything in the neighborhood. They carried the gun for self-protection. Now, you would think nobody would mess with a guy carrying an AR-15. Well, apparently that's not the case. You know, some people are just insane enough to go after somebody like that. He was not threatening anyone with it. He was not using it for any kind of bad things. Of course, the police weren't out there. They were like standing off, you know, observing, trying to keep people from going into the area because it was too dangerous. They were all lined up around the perimeter of what was going on within the bounds of everything, all the rioting that was going on. I don't blame them. It's not their property. Police are not actually obligated to stand, you know, take a bullet for you. I don't know if you realize that or not. They carry guns primarily for their own protection, not to protect you necessarily. That's the primary reason. I guarantee you, most of the 95% of them are heroes, and they will step in and try to protect you. But they're not obligated to do that. I have no problem with that. Now, the problem we've got right now is that the FBI apparently had a high-resolution drone flying around in Kenosha. Who knew? I had never heard about this until this last week. There was high-resolution drone footage of the whole incident with Kyle Rittenhouse. Kyle at one point was being confronted by some people. And what he ended up doing was they started a dumpster on fire and they were pushing it towards a gas station, trying to blow up the gas station. He apparently ran up with a fire extinguisher and put out the fire. Well, that didn't make some people really happy. And they started to come after him. They were beating him, hitting him with a skateboard, had him down on the ground at one point. He ended up getting up. And he was being chased into a situation. They were planning this. It was street tactics. It was called a kill zone. What they did is they funneled him in between a couple of cars. And when he came out the other end, there were more people there waiting on him. That's when they started beating him up. He got up again and started running away and ended up running behind an area where you can't really see what's going on. However, the footage they do have footage of this. He gets knocked down. He gets the guy who he thought was going to shoot at him, was threatening to kill him. He heard gunshots, supposedly from someone who was shooting a gun in the air. Kyle thought he was being shot at and shot one of the people who was chasing him, the main guy who was chasing him, who was threatening to kill him. he ended up killing the individual. He was labeled then a white supremacist. Of course, you're automatically labeled a white supremacist regardless of what color your skin is, apparently. And then you go through this whole thing of, you know, you're just because you were trying to defend yourself, you're now a criminal. In the process of all this, the FBI released some footage. They did not release it to the defense. The prosecution had this footage. They had some footage that was not high resolution that was released of the whole event, and that was all that people could see. There is more footage of this. There was much more footage and much better detail of what was going on. But wouldn't you know it? Now, the FBI was sitting on this footage for almost a year and didn't tell anybody about it since last year when this whole thing was going on. Not surprising to me at all the way the FBI is operating. I'm telling you, these people are political hacks right now. They need to be reined in. They are out of control. They are out to protect themselves and wield power. The people at the top of these organizations are not there to protect American citizens. They are there to protect a certain ideology. Most of that is just to protect their organization. I'm not sure how it needs to happen, but it needs to be reined in. This is ridiculous. They were sitting on this evidence like they do with most everything, just like Hunter's laptop. Sat on it for almost two years. Didn't do anything with it. They've never gone after him. He's got illegal stuff on there. Evidence of him doing illegal things. They hold on to it because, you know, because Joe's going to be president. They had entrapped, in my opinion, Hillary Clinton. They didn't really entrap her. They got her dead to rights on doing some stuff. And then they went ahead and recorded some things that in other ways. They had her in a sting operation. They're not going to do anything with it. They weren't going to do anything with it. They were going to use it to control her when she got in the White House when they thought she was going to win in 2016. This was going on in 2015, 14 and 15, when she was Secretary of State. This is the kind of stuff they do. So then they kept this stuff. Well, they just sit on all this information all the time, and then they use it. They just gather it up. Now they're saying, oh, we don't have the footage. We lost it. Oh, gee. No, you didn't. Here's how this works. When they go out and get evidence, I guarantee you, as soon as they get if the drone itself, I would not be surprised that the drone itself probably has onboard memory card. They also have, and that's probably where the high-res footage is in that memory card, probably. Now, they also have the footage that they were watching live in real time. That's all being recorded as well. And you're telling me they didn't put that in a backup anywhere? They only had one disc with that? No, if that's the case, then our FBI is out of their freaking minds. Now, I worked for a photo company for a while with my drone. I was taking real estate pictures. The first thing I did when I would pull the data, when I would pull those photos off, first of all, there was a card in my drone collecting data. Doesn't take a very big card. I mean, they've got stuff now that'll take terabyte. It's the size of your fingernail. And I ended up, when I would get that thing, now also on my phone, on my monitor that I was looking at, whatever monitor it was I was looking at, whether it was my phone or my other monitor, I also recorded all of that. Now, that wasn't the high res on mine. It was my particular setup was, it was given it like in 1080p. I would record it in 1080p on my phone, and it was recording it in 4K, usually, on the drone when I was doing video anyway. And my drone was nothing. It was a cheapie compared to what the FBI has. The idea that they would then take that memory card from wherever it was, whether it was on board the drone or whether it was someplace else, whether it was being downloaded to another particular place, the idea that they would just keep it on one hard drive is absolutely insane. Oh, we lost it. You know, I would back all of my, I still have all of it. Any video and photos I took for that company, I would back it up onto a hard drive. Some of it I backed up onto the cloud. I would back it up onto the hard drive, and then I had another working hard drive that I would use for going through everything and deleting stuff and then, you know, editing whatever I had to do and then sending it off to the company. But I still have all of the raw data. The idea that and I guarantee you there are more than one person at the FBI collecting and looking at this data and making copies of it. There are probably 10 copies of all those files. It is an insult to think that the FBI lost any footage. They are out to get Kyle Rittenour. Rittenour? That's, I don't know what his name is. Rittenour, something like that. And it's embarrassing in my opinion, and it just makes the FBI, obviously they think we're idiots. I mean, talk about a congressional investigation. This is a criminal investigation, in my opinion, with the FBI. If the FBI has lost that footage, they are incompetent boobs that need to be removed. They're worthless. They have no interest in justice and doing the right thing. It's all about a political narrative. They are being manipulated. That's all I'm going to say. I'm hot about it because this continues to happen. And I know that they're lying. And for some reason, it's okay for them to lie to us, the American people. But when anybody from the American people lie to them, they go to prison. Michael Flynn. It should be the other way around. It's okay for a police officer to lie to you, but you can't lie to the police officer. Well, that's baloney, to put it mildly. The people that work for us, that are holding us to a standard that they don't have to uphold themselves. I think it's absolutely disgusting. I'm done. I'm speechless here. I'm tongue tied. I've had it with this kind of mentality that the state is always right. They're the experts, and we're just the chattel who need to go along and to get along and comply with everything that they want. I think that's what was being said in Virginia. This idea that McAuliffe can come out and just say, we just don't want parents coming in here and just starting to take out books and deciding what their kids are going to learn in school. We're going to leave that up to the professionals. No. Parents said no. You need accountability to the parents. Some of the things that are being taught to their kids, some of the books that are in their libraries, you can't even show those pictures on television of some of the stuff that was in those books that the parents were complaining about because they are so disgusting. All in the name of education. That's where we are today. And I think that's where people are just about had it. And it's when it comes to the kids. People will put up with quite a bit. In fact, my understanding is now the mandates that were for businesses of 100 or more, or more than 100 people, 100 businesses that had more than 100 employees, had to comply with this OSHA mandate. The OSHA mandate was different than the federal mandate. The federal mandate is absolute. It is any federal employee. also applies to contractors and subcontractors to federal employee or to federal federal contracts. Now, there are a lot of businesses out there that do business with the government. And there are even more businesses out there that do business with businesses that do business with the government. And they know that. So any business that has employees of a count of 100 or more have to do some kind of OSHA mandate. That's pretty much all businesses that are that have any kind of large employment. Certainly big box stores and anything else. McDonald's, Walmart, any of that kind of thing. The mom and pop operations, of course, are cut out of that. You know, if you got, you know, 20, 30 employees or just a local business, locally owned, operated restaurant, whatever you are, probably not going to fall into that particular mandate. Now, I just read today. The next step, of course, this is the way they do it. It's incremental. That's why they call it progressivism. The next step is they're going to go after all small businesses. If you work for a business of any kind, they're going to come after you. Now, you'll have to get vaccinated. Any employees at all. Under this OSHA, the American people swallowed it when it was 100 or more. Now it's going to be any small business. This is why my business, I do have a small business, and here's the way I set it up. And I know that this is contrary to what a lot of legal advice will give you, even accounting people will give you. But this is the reason I set it up this way, for this very reason. And now it is paying off. I have a sole proprietor business. It is not an LLC or any kind of corporation. It is not an entity of the state. I am a sole proprietor doing business as, and I have filed that paperwork with the county clerk. I have a business name, and I have no employees. And I have no other legal entities that are created by the state. I'm not in any kind of agreement with the state to create another entity. They cannot force me under OSHA regulations to do anything. I had this feeling that this is what was going to happen. Now, I have in the past, I've owned several LLCs. I've owned a sub-S corporation. I had a 501c3 organization. I've done all that stuff in my lifetime. Every single one of them had some kind of issue with the state at some point or another, because that's the way they come down on you. Because the IRS has, they can push right in. Not only the IRS, the international or the federal IRS, but the state can also do things to you, force you to comply to this and that and the other thing. So proprietorship does not have that issue. There are very few of us out there, unfortunately, which means that when they get all the rest of you, they're going to come after me eventually. At some point, I will not be able to do business with anyone unless I've been vaccinated. My clients will basically have to ask me, have you been vaccinated? If you haven't, then we can't hire you for this job. That's what's going to happen. I have no doubt it's going to happen, because I'm seeing the mandatory spirit behind this thing, the compliance spirit behind this thing, the way they're forcing people into this. You have to understand, like I was saying yesterday, this isn't just some kind of political, ideological war going on. There is a spiritual war right now happening. And what we're seeing is the evidence of that. We're seeing the manifestation of some things. Now, granted, in and of itself, it's not that bad. Just getting the vaccine is not such a bad thing necessarily. I'm not saying, I don't know if it's going to kill you or not. I have no idea. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it's bad for you. I'm not saying it's good for you. All I know is the vaccine itself, in my opinion, at this point, I have no idea We haven't got any evidence that it's, we do have some evidence that it's harming some people, but so is COVID. Any medication you can possibly take, and when you're doing it in this such a mass amount of people, any medication can have side effects that are harmful. However, we don't know what the long-term aspects of this thing are going to be, side effects are going to be. But the pressure that they're putting on people to take this vaccine is what is troubling me to no end. It is a literal frenzy, and people are worked up in this, not just the government people, but everybody around them and everybody below them, everybody who has been involved in this thing. There are not just pro-vaccine people. There are people who are adamantly saying that if you don't take the vaccine, you should be, there are people on television saying you should be eliminated from society. And then when they say that, they mean gone, like dead. They are saying that and getting away with it. Just like you can't say, you know, this, and then talk about double standards here. I know I don't really like to harp on this too much because the left doesn't understand double standards. They have no standard other than the end justifies the means. And I know I've talked about this before. So to call them out on double standards or hypocrisy is not even something I intend to do because it's a moot point for them. I can point it out and I can tell you about it, but I'm preaching to the choir. Until your eyes have been open to the issues, you won't see the hypocrisy. And you won't care about the hypocrisy. You won't even care about it. Because the end justifies the means. You have such a vehement passion for being self-righteous that you can't see your own issues. And that's where we are right now with this whole thing. And the dividing line just gets deeper and the crevice gets deeper and it's the chasm gets further from each other. This whole argument. Everything becomes politicized and polarizing. You can't just have a conversation with different discourse. It's just this politicized thing all of a sudden. No, well then you're a white supremacist. You're a racist. Or you're a radical liberal, left-wing nutcase. It's, you know, we just start name-calling. That's where it goes. So, having said all of that, again, let me know what you think. Let me know what you think I should talk about on this show. And maybe I'll consider it. I don't know. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Who knows? It's possible. Maybe you'll get your subject talked about. Or maybe I'll read your comments on the show. That'd be fun. In the meantime, I apologize for the show getting out so late this week or today. Got in late last night. I drove back from Atlanta. I am now back in Indiana. And I'm going to be here for a few days. I've got a few days that I can spend at the studio. And that's what I'll be doing. Catching up on the news and getting some things done and getting ready for winter time. It won't be long. It's going to be 11 degrees out there or less. 10 degrees, zero, whatever. 11 below zero. So thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sharing the show. Thanks for liking this. And folks, have a great day. God bless everybody.